The Federal Reserve is expected to announce some policy changes today. Many were looking for a reduction of its bond buying program.
But in a surprise move, the Fed's policymakers voted not to make changes to this economic stimulus program. In a statement, the Federal Open Market Committee said that there's, quote, growing underlying strength in the broader economy. But they want more evidence that the progress will be sustained before making any changes.
To help us understand what's going on, we called up Chris Farrell, economics editor for Marketplace Money. Chris, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
First, was this a surprise to you?
Yes, it was a surprise. The consensus expectation out there was that the Federal Reserve would announce somewhere between a $5 billion to $15 billion reduction in its quantitative easing, which has been $85 billion a month. So we're not talking a very big figure, and everyone kind of coalesced around that number. So it was a surprise when they said, you know what, we're not going to do this. We're going to follow the data, and we won't act until the data tells us it's okay.
Before we get to the why of that decision, let's lay out the basics here. Over here on my left, they're buying these bonds.
Right.
Over here on my right, it's supposed to boost the economy. What are the dominoes going from the left to the right there?
So the dominoes, and it's easiest to see in the mortgage market, in the home buying market. So what the Fed is doing by buying long-term bonds, and it's split in their program, which is half, pretty, you know, dividing it roughly half treasuries, half mortgage-backed securities. So that buying power helps push down interest rates. When interest rates are down, homeowners could refinance their mortgages. We had a lot of refinancing activity going on. And then people started to think, you know what? Hey, you know, 3.5% 30-year fixed rate mortgage, maybe it is time to buy. So that's probably the clearest indication we have of the effect of quantitative easing on the economy is on the housing market, allowing homeowners to refinance and then kind of stirring some interest. So in 2012, we saw the market bottom out.
And now people are buying more houses. We're seeing more new construction. Is this thing working as designed?
It's working as designed. Now, there's a growing debate about, all right, they've been doing this for a period of time. Is it becoming less? Is the impact, you know, becoming less? And there seems to be a sense that the impact is becoming less. And Bernanke came out and said, look, you know what? Economy's getting better. We're going to have to start, what the term has become tapering, which we thought it was going to be announced, you know, that they're going to actually do it. All he said is, we're going to have to really start thinking about tapering this bond buying program. And long-term interest rates went up by a percentage point. So your mortgage now, instead of being 3.5, is 4.5%, which is starting to show up in a slowdown, not a collapse, but a slowdown in the housing market.
So the Fed's the parent pushing the kid along on their bike, and they're kind of watching to see if the kid is pedaling. The kid's the economy.
That's
right.
In
this tortured metaphor. If the kid is pedaling along and able to sustain itself, this decision today to say we're not changing things, does this mean, yeah, we're liking the momentum there, but we need to roll along with the kid a little longer?
I like your metaphor.
I'm not sure if I do.
It was a classic example. The Fed statement was a classic yes, but.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, the economy is getting stronger, and we kind of like a lot of the signs that we're seeing there, but it's not quite strong enough for us to feel confident about tapering. But I think what they didn't really say, I mean, kind of this fiscal thing, is you got this at the same time. What's been happening is all of a sudden we're going to have another fiscal crisis. And so, to a large extent, I think what was driving this decision was, you know what, we're going to have a fiscal crisis. We're going to have a mess over on the other side of the street in Washington, D.C., up in the Capitol. So maybe we should, let's just keep things the way they are for right now, because we don't know how much damage will be done through all the drama, all the talk about, we're not going to agree on the debt limit ceiling, we're not going to agree on the budget, and how deep is that going to cut. So right now, I think this was actually a very cautious move on the Fed. They like what they see in the underlying economy. They don't like what they see on the fiscal side of the ledger, so let's not make any changes right now.
But a small change, cutting it just a certain percentage, is that really that big a deal? Or is there a psychological impact on places like Wall Street or even, maybe prospective homeowners that amplifies these very small changes?
Well, it is all about psychology at this point. You know, to a large extent, what the Fed has gotten into is they're in the communications business, and they're in the business of convincing you that no matter what, you don't have to worry about inflation. The Fed is going to fight against inflation. You don't have to worry about it right now. Depending on which measure you look at, inflation is running 1.4% to 1.8%. So it's in that range, right, depending on the measure. So inflation is down. So the Fed is saying, look, you know, we're not trying to confuse you. We are going to taper at some point. We think we're going to be tapering, and you know, we're going to remove ourselves out of this market. But we're just not quite confident that now is the right time to do it. So we're going to do it. We're going to do it, but just not quite yet.
It seems like people on Wall Street and us in the media, too, for that matter, look at these announcements like, oh, the Oracle of Delphi is coming out with something. This is going to be the big thing again with the psychology. Do we just blow it out of proportion? Is what they're doing in general that big a deal?
What they're doing in general over the course of a year, or you know, out to 2016, which is really what their forward guidance was about. From now until 2016, yes, it is a big deal. It absolutely is a big deal. Is it a big deal that they didn't taper? No, it really isn't. And it is being overblown. We have a relief rally on Wall Street. The stock market indexes are at record highs once again. So I guess, yes, a little bit of a relief rally going on there. But as of right now, if you sort of take a step back, you know, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been a little bit above 1,500. It's been a little bit below 1,500. The bond yield has gone up by a percentage point, but now it's backed off a little bit. Not much has actually changed in terms of the economy. The job market continues to expand at about 189,000 a month. The economy is growing this 2% average annual rate. So things are kind of relatively stable, but they're stable at a level we don't want them to be at. And I think what the Fed is saying is, look, we do really want to get out of the position that we're in, but we're just a little bit nervous doing it right now. You're absolutely right. We're overblowing this decision.
We've been hearing the numbers you were talking about, the upward trend in job creation, or yep, steady but not spectacular, stock market doing well. But we've also been hearing in recent weeks and months about a disparity, people doing okay at the upper level, the recovery not translating down to working class America. Is that the kind of job creation, something that would stick down at the lower income level, that maybe would persuade the Fed to change what they're doing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that you're mentioning the median income numbers, the household income numbers that came out, and you're absolutely right. I mean, income inequality is getting worse, and the jobs are not really trickling down as far as they would. And so I think, you know, the Fed is nervous about that. The consumer's not buying as much as would be your traditional models would say. But I do think that in the real background of this is more the fiscal policy side of things. And the Fed, in general, feels they can do very little about income inequality. They talk a lot about it. They worry about it. They finance research that looks into it. But they're really, you know, I think it's pretty straightforward. They look at the unemployment rate, and they look at the inflation rate. And right now what the inflation rate is saying is don't worry, and what the unemployment rate is saying is you got to keep worrying.
I never like to ask people to predict the future, but can you predict the future? When do you have a timeline in your head of when that change might be made, when they stop buying up these bonds in order to goose the economy?
Yes, and the timeline, I think, is a very simple timeline, and it's actually relatively soon. So the critical period is October, and the question is, how do we come out of the negotiations in terms of the debt limit? The economy is going to continue to grow, and I think the Fed is right about that. If you look across the board, the underlying economy will continue to grow. Major metropolitan areas are continuing to strengthen, so we got good investment on equipment. The real question is how much damage is done. If we come through relatively unscathed out of this fight over the budget and the debt limit, the Fed will probably act faster than people expect right now. If we have some real damage like we had two summers ago, where there was real damage to the economy, then the Fed will not act, and we probably won't see tapering until next year.
So the other shoe to drop, and maybe we'll have you on to talk about it when the time comes, is what happens with the president and Congress, and maybe sequestration part two. Who knows?
Who knows? And then you'll have it on tape, and you can say, hey, Chris, let me just play for you what you said with your forecast, okay?
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot.
That was Chris Farrell, economics editor for Marketplace Money.